Today's show is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending has a hassle-free, year-round fundraising program for schools. You can learn more at schoolspiritvending.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I talk with Matt Miller for a second time. This guy, I love him. I love him to death. He was on episode 5, and he is the creator of School Spirit Vending, a proud sponsor of our show who makes fundraising hassle-free for schools. We talk about how funny money is hot right now, how tradition isn't a good reason to do something, how comics inspired Matt to read, and why failure is the best teacher. I don't take for granted that you're tuned in, and I hope you enjoy the show. Well, hey, Better Leaders, Matt Miller is my guest. He was on episode number 5 way back in September of 2015 is when that one got released. And this is almost 2 years later. This guy is now somebody that I consider a close friend, and it's cool to see how his business has grown. And we'll get into that. But Matt has spent the first 9 years of his career as an Air Force pilot before entering the corporate world to work at both Abbott Labs and Velasys. While a top performer at both companies, his long-term desire was to start a business and be his own boss. A good friend one day mentioned that gumball machines he and his daughters owned. And that conversation began a 10-year business quest that has brought Matt's company, School Spirit Vending, to the cutting edge of both the vending and school fundraising industries. Today, School Spirit Vending's hassle-free fundraising program is helping schools in 40-plus states raise money in its own unique way. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Daniel, thanks for having me on. It's good to chat with you again.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, School Spirit Vending is near and dear to my heart. You know, we're friends, and you're also a generous sponsor of Better Leaders, Better Schools, and that helps produce the podcast and put it out there for free for the listeners. So thank you for that. But can you give us, you know, people could go back episode 5 to hear more of the genesis of the company, but can you give us a quick overview of what School Spirit Vending is, what it does, and how it helps schools out?
We provide hassle-free year-round fundraising for our schools. We custom design school mascot spirit stickers for the school, and then we place a sticker machine in the school. It gives schools an opportunity to increase their school spirit, and the vending machine is an ongoing fundraiser for the school that goes essentially year round. We started the company with a test school back in 07 in October. So we're approaching a decade of doing this. And to date, we're working with nearly 2,500 schools in about 40 different states, and have never seen a bigger demand than we have right now for our program.
And how is it a hassle-free program?
Well, we literally do all the work. Once the school agrees to bring the sticker machine in and we get it set up, we handle everything. We do all the servicing. We do the product rotation. You know, we handle the money. Literally, the only thing the school has to do is cash a check. So the goal is to keep it very, very simple. You know, our real passion is for educators to continue to spend their time pouring their life into what they do best, which is educating kids, and let us take some of the fundraising burden off of them with our part of the program.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I've been on both sides of the spectrum, where I've been in some schools where upwards of 90% of the kids, you know, get free reduced lunch, and they could definitely use the help fundraising, in schools where the parents can, you know, generate over a few hundred thousand dollars for the school as well. Can you tell us a little bit about, I guess, the stickers and the machines and how you personalize those so kids go crazy for them and become raving fans of School Spirit Vending?
You know, like I said, we do the custom school stickers, which is something that everybody loves. But then we also design and manufacture from the ground up a bunch of other really, really cool stuff for the kids. In fact, we're always on, you know, try to stay in tune with today's trends and what's going on, and are constantly innovating and creating new product for the kids to try. One of the products that has been our top selling product, Daniel, for the last 6 years or so, is a simple little product called Funny Money. And all it is paper money with these cute little characters on it and that type of thing. But what makes it cool is the kids get a chance to, you know, play store, or they get to, you know, conduct quote unquote commerce with one another. You know, they can get a $1 bill, but they can get a $1 million bill as well. And that product has become over the top interactive for the kids, and something we never in our wildest dreams could have anticipated. But they actually absolutely love it, because it's more than just putting a sticker on a folder and being done. So products like that, we are constantly trying new things to figure out what ways we can best reach the kids and best serve them as our customers.
Now, that's a really good point. You know, I didn't know that counterfeiting could be so lucrative for you, but the fun part about it is, you know, that Funny Money teaches kids skills, like you said, and some of my favorite classes that I've been to use a class type of currency so that kids can earn rewards, incentives within a school store. And because they have that currency available, the teachers can do some pretty neat things with the kids. So it sounds like you're almost providing, you know, a need there you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in the school environment every day, so the direct applicability is sometimes lost on us. But we're constantly testing new things, trying new things, and looking for things, like I said, that where we can have an impact on the kids. And that was one of those that has been a home run for us. And, you know, we keep getting requests over and over again to bring it back.
So the other show I do, View from the Top, that's more for business-minded folks and entrepreneurs. And we could get into, like, how you've grown. This show, as you know, focuses on school leaders. But there's a part I want to pick apart within your growth, because I think it's valuable to the school leader. And if they go back, look at the bio, right? In 2015, you're in 23 schools. Now you're in 40 plus. And you've been on some just gigantic podcasts, much, much bigger than mine. Guys that, you know, are raking in hundreds of thousands of dollars just from a podcast, right? That's I don't do that, you know, and that's okay. But the growth component of it, now you have a massive team, right? And you have a bunch of people that are working for you and representing the brand. And I know you do some offsite sort of conferences where you build school spirit vending culture. And I'm wondering if you could spend some time there and dig deep into how long, you know, where do these conferences last? What do you try to accomplish, and how do you go about accomplishing those goals?
Well, a lot of it, Daniel, gets down to my philosophy on business. I've always been one of those guys that I've looked at the direction that everybody else is going, and I've intentionally gone the other way. And I know you're that way as a leader in the school in a lot of ways as well. So whatever everybody else was doing, just because they were doing it did not mean that I would be doing it as well. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to mold a culture that more closely followed our belief system and our thought process instead of what maybe I was exposed to in the military or in the corporate world. So as an example, family is foundational in what we do. In fact, our goal is not just to help schools raise money, not just to help moms and dads who are our franchisees in our business, you know, develop incomes as they're helping those schools, but also for the kids in those families to learn entrepreneurship as well, and in the process develop multi-generational entrepreneurship and not just teach mom and dad how to do what we do. So that's been something that's driven our culture from the very beginning. Well, in order to do that, we wanted to have our training. We do what we call a conclave every year. It's in June, and it's where all of our franchise team and their families get together for a long weekend. And yeah, we do some workshops and some training and all that, because that's one of the keys of that event and one of the things that we bring value to our franchisees with. But we also wanted to provide an environment where networking can be done, where relationships can be developed, and where families could spend some time together and turn a purely business trip into a family vacation of sorts as well. We provide activities for the families, along with, you know, providing content for the parents. And in the process, you know, we once again foster that environment of family involvement. We've got kids down to, you know, at last conclave, you know, we had kids a year old up to teenagers who are actively involved with their parents in their SSV business. And it has been so gratifying to see that, to have the kids involved, for them to be encouraged to be there and for them to be encouraged to be part of the day-to-day with mom and dad's business where they can. You know, something else that I do to grow that culture is I'm a podcaster myself, and we have a private podcast that we do for our franchise team a couple of times a week, where we have really found that to be the lifeblood of our communication strategy and our cultural development strategy, I guess, because, you know, there's a lot more that can be accomplished with you and me talking than you doing something and then expecting people to read it. You know, we get to hear the inflection in our voice. You know, we get to respond directly to one another in a way that is easy for the listener to take in, right? Because they can be driving down the road listening to this us talk, or they can be mowing the lawn or whatever. And we have found the exact same applicability with the SSV radio podcast to our franchise team and building that culture.
I'm just curious, this is not necessarily school spirit vending related, but what made you want to start that podcast then for the school spirit vending organization? Just another way, a level of messaging and getting that out there, or what was that all about?
Well, we've got a team that's literally all over the country, and we're probably within a couple of months of starting business in Canada as well. And I started having these success stories happen in different parts of the country, and I was like, okay, so this really, really cool happened down in Miami this last week with one of our franchisees and some of the schools that he's working in. How do I share that story? I couldn't do it justice just writing a few paragraphs. And I couldn't go down there and be with him realistically. So the whole podcast idea just made sense, because in that case, I could get Jesse down there in Miami. His success was the thing that brought it all about. And I could get him on the horn, you know, on Skype like we are now, Daniel, and he could share his story. The ups, the downs, what happened, how he went about doing what he did. And that story became magic to the entire rest of the team who was listening, instead of me trying to be the go-between and put it in a format that maybe I could reach a few people with.
Yeah, that's great. And that evergreen content, you know, is just there for them to keep dialing back to and learning from and spread those stories of what makes your organization so great. I think that's a fantastic way. In schools, you know, they're doing it through video, but podcasting, I'd love to help schools, you know, set up podcasts to be able to tell their stories, and so that their community could hear it, you know, probably when they're just even dropping off their kids or picking them up. That would be really fun, I think.
Yeah. Ideas that I've had for years since I started podcasting was, you know, somebody come up with an entity or a company where schools could do that, to where the schools don't have to be the expert at that, but this entity comes in once a month or once every couple of weeks or whatever, and has somebody within the school that has put together the slate of kids or parents or faculty or whatever that are going to be sharing what's going on in the school. But then you've got someone like yourself who ends up, you know, being the host and making it all happen behind the scenes. I think that communication could be huge and could really be revolutionary in the school environment today. Just out there for somebody to take the idea and run with it, man.
Stuff to ponder. Matt, talk to me about Marlon and Percy.
When I was in elementary school and in middle school, junior high, I was inspired to read by reading comic books. And so once School Spirit Vending started to grow and our platform was already proven and continued growth was a foregone conclusion. I was like, man, what can we do to give back to the kids once again in our schools to where maybe we can inspire some kids to read just like I was inspired to read when I was their age? And I started looking at industry. I had been out of it for a long time and looked at a lot of the content. And I was like, you know what? As a parent, there's not a whole lot there with much redeeming value. Most of the comics are more adult themed or whatever. And that's not the stuff that I wanted my kids, you know, reading at that stage in their life. So I was blessed to come across a couple of young guys that were graduates from Baylor University. Caleb Bolenbacher is a writer and Tyler Ellis is an illustrator. I said, listen, guys, here's a crazy idea. You guys know I have these sticker machines in schools all over the country. Let's start writing a comic series. I said, you guys come up with the characters. I want it to be values-based, so I want to be able to teach character. It needs to be fun. It needs to be, you know, elementary age appropriate. And initially, Marlon and Percy, who Caleb and Tyler came up with, there are a couple of apes that want to be superheroes. And initially, they just showed up on the little cardboard, what we call board games, that the stickers come out of our machines in, kind of like the packaging of it. But after a while, I was like, okay, so we've been doing these four-panel comics for a while, and these are great. But what if we started to do full-length comics? And in the last 3 years, we've written 8 full-length comics. They're available on Amazon or at marlinandpercy.com. And we also just recently published our first chapter book or children's novel called Marlin and Percy Beginnings.
I saw that.
We were actually invited by a middle school up in Fort Collins, Colorado, Preston Middle School, to be part of their Preston Reads program. And the school bought a bunch of books for a group of kids. The kids and their parents read the book. And then we came in and did a symposium about entrepreneurship, writing, and art for the kids and their parents that night, and had an absolute blast. And you could just see the light bulb come on in some of the eyes of those kids because of the different angle we were approaching those topics with them.
Hmm. Do you mind sharing some of that?
As far as?
Like, I'm wondering how you approached that topic, right? What were some of those activities that brought that light bulb moment on for the kids?
Well, for me, I was just kind of talking to them a little bit about how literally the business and the comic books came from me starting with a gumball machine about 13 years ago and briefly talked through, you know, all that had transpired to get us to this point. But as an example, Caleb took some segments of one of our comics and we took all the text out of the bubbles and we spent about 15 minutes with the kids, allowing them to become the writer.
Nice.
With those different scenes from the comic. Tyler, we did a fun thing where we had one of those, you know, those whiteboards. I don't know what they're called, but they're like the computer whiteboard. Uh-huh. And we gave him a scenario that he wasn't aware of and then had him draw that scenario right there in front of the kids and the parents. The artwork came to life and they were able to see how he was able to create something from nothing. And then what we did, because we're always looking for new and creative ideas to tie into our stories, is we challenged the kids. We said, hey, listen, come up with a character. Now that you're familiar with Marlon and Percy and their story, come up with a character, either a hero or a villain, that might be part of Marlon and Percy. Draw us a picture, give us a description. And we actually ended up having a contest with that school and with a couple of elementary schools that we went in and just did more reading times with the kids. Mm. And man, it blew our mind, the stuff the kids came up with and mm-hmm. the submissions we got. The winner ends up getting their character be a part in Marlon and Percy comic number 10 here, which will be out by the end of the school year. And the feedback we got from the faculty, the feedback that we got from the parents involved and the kids in the elementary schools, Daniel, we were meeting with fourth and fifth graders.
Yeah.
Obviously a pretty rambunctious group of kids normally, right?
They could be.
Well, we had one group, 300 kids in a gymnasium, and they were quiet as church mice for an hour. Mm. I've never seen kids that age in that group engaged as much as they were. And I think it was just because of the unique way that we were approaching them in a way that maybe is not very traditional. And we all know, we all learn differently. And I think we really, in the process, got some kids thinking and struck a chord with some of them, which maybe up to this point in time, that had been a challenge just because we came at it from a completely different angle and were able to share our love of entrepreneurship, writing, and art in a unique way.
Yeah, well, they related to you. They connected to you. You tapped into their creativity. You made the learning authentic. And sharing that story that it was gumball machines 13 years ago, and probably kids can relate to that just because they chew so much dang gum, right? And they're thinking, I'm guessing, right? This is my assumption that they're thinking, well, why not me, right? Because I'll tell you what. Well, let me ask. There's no way you'll guess. When I was their age, Matt, what I wanted to be was a comic book artist or an FBI agent or some type of combination of both. And so if you would have spoken at my school, I would have been eating out of your hands because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to draw cartoons, tell stories, and make people feel good, right, through the 30 minutes they would spend in my comic strip or comic book. That's what you made real for all those kids during that hour. So kudos to you, buddy.
Thanks. Thanks. We're enjoying it right now. You know, that whole program, its infancy, but what our hope is here within the next year is we're able to package it in a way to where our franchisees with SSV can bring that program to any school across the country and tap into video that shows Caleb and Tyler with their expertise, but then allows the franchisee, you know, to put their personality on it as well and not just be that sticker machine and that fundraiser, but also, you know, be more of an educator of the kids as well.
Yeah. I wonder if those could even be like video courses that kids take and teaches them how to become a comic book artist or how to design a comic or something, but that you're onto it there. And I think that's a really interesting take on it. And kids would just eat it up. They would definitely love it.
Yeah.
As a principal, I know one of the biggest challenges that I face is figuring out how to raise more money for my school so I can impact my students and help them get the resources, the programs that they desperately need. That's where School Spirit Vending comes in. And I know the owner, Matt Miller. He's an excellent guy. He was a guest on episode 5. And I'm encouraging you, the listener, to check out School Spirit Vending in their hassle-free year-round fundraising program at schoolspiritvending.com. Matt, if I said, okay, I'm going to give you 6 weeks, come on down to my school and teach my eighth graders how to be an entrepreneur, how might you design that curriculum?
Wow. You know, it probably wouldn't be something that that most educators would want to hear. But to begin with, I'd probably have some basic ideas and fly by the seat of my pants a bit. I know that would be difficult to swallow, but here's the thing. Just like I found with School Spirit Vending when I got started, the program was initially developed for the high school. And what I learned is that the high school kids are too old and they don't interact with our machine like the younger kids did. So we pivoted after we got in the game and you know, have morphed into what we are today. I could guess what that course would be like initially. But until I got in the classroom and was able to read the kids and to better understand where they are at in this stage in society and what they're looking for, you know, I really couldn't tell you for sure. I know I'd want their hands dirty. I know that I would encourage them all to have some sort of business by the time it was done, no matter how small. I mean, I don't know about you, Daniel, but me growing up in the Chicago area, I was shoveling sidewalks, I was mowing lawns, I was delivering newspapers. I never looked at myself as an entrepreneur at an early age, but I was. And a lot of those basic skills and that desire early on, I know, is foundational to what I'm doing today. So at the least, I would be encouraging that in, and hopefully helping encourage their parents to allow that to happen as well, because by getting in the game is really where you learn. And, you know, there's just so much creativity in all of us, especially at that level and at that age group, that I love it, because the kids, I think, and I know you see this every day, just surprise you with their ingenuity, with their creativity and all that.
Yeah, well, the keys that you hit on that I think is important for any type of entrepreneurial class or somebody that's sort of doing like maybe a senior or eighth grade project where they really design, you know, where they go, you know, something that's very personalized and project based, is that A, it's authentic, right? So you're talking about getting their hands dirty and actually doing something. So it's authentic. And B, that there is learning moments where kids pivot, right? Because you thought that by serving high schools, that's where, you know, you would be able to help out the most, but it was actually in elementary schools, right? And so you had to make a shift there to end up being successful. And if you didn't make that shift, you would have failed probably miserably. So it's building that sort of environment where it's safe to take risks, to fail, and encourage failure so that people can switch gears and actually end up being a success.
You know this, Daniel, as well as I do. You know, the reason why I'm where I am today is because I have failed a lot. And we need to be encouragers of that, as backwards to some folks as that might seem, because it's only through my failures have I learned what to do right. And I would have never learned what to do right if I hadn't made the mistakes. You know, I joke with folks, you know, I'm the guy in our household. My wife is the one that reads the instruction manual. I'm just the one that does it. So if we were to get a new grill, were talking about what you cooked out before we talked tonight.
Yeah.
If we were to get a new grill come in the box, you know, I'd be the one that would try putting the thing together and would get it wrong 3 times before she'd come out with the instructions and help me finally get it together the way it needs to be. But along the way, I would have learned a lot in the process too. And that's kind of the way I've lived my life, is just being unafraid to make those mistakes. Because what I've learned along the way is there are very few mistakes you can make that are permanent. Mm-hmm. And you can recover from most as long as you're willing to continue to move forward, mm-hmm, and adjust and learn along the way.
Right, right. Hey, Matt, I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about your mastermind experience. I talk about it a lot on the show. I currently coach, this is March, end of March, and I have 19 amazing school leaders that I work with. And by the time that this show airs, you know, there'll be a bunch more. But how has that been an integral part of your life? And yeah, just share your mastermind story.
You know, professional athletes have coaches. You know, business leaders have forums and coaches, but for some reason, most of us never got that memo, or were never exposed to that in our careers. Being a part of the mastermind and having access to a coach have been complete and total game changers for me. And the reason for that is because I am limited in my experience and in my knowledge. And the only way I can get out beyond that is to get myself around other people who can make me better. You know, I don't remember who it was said, you know, that you're essentially where you're going to be 5 years from now as a function of the people that you hang out with and the books that you read. Well, I, in many cases in my life, was the smartest guy in the room. And the goal should be to be the dumbest guy in the room. And today I am intentionally the dumbest guy in the room on a regular basis. I've got a lot that I can provide and bring to the conversation from my life experience, but there's a lot of others that have different experiences that I learn from each and every day, because I'm now in that arena on a daily basis. And, you know, sometimes it's little things like technology tools or tips. I had my mastermind today, and we were talking through a couple new tools that I'd never heard of before that are literally going to be a game changer for me and my business and the way I do things. But then other times it's, you know, advice and insights about relationships or decisions that need to be made or whatever. And, you know, to have a variety of counselors instead of just relying on oneself is important. You know, in the educational space, you know, man, to get around other educators and to learn and to grow and be better, what better way to become an irreplaceable asset in your school or in your district very, very quickly by being that person that stands above and is getting that kind of access and association on a weekly basis?
I appreciate that. Thank you. And if you're a listener and you want to join this hybrid group coaching and leadership development community, you can check that out, betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM for mastermind. We are ending the podcast with just a few questions. Matt, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a classic. Some topics or the stories are quite a bit outdated, but the book is as important today as it's ever been. And it's all about being a listener, not being a talker. It's all about, you know, caring more about what we think than what we want to share and what we think. Great, great book.
Besides, what was it? Crud? Is it Crud? What's that game?
Crud.
Okay. Besides Crud, what do you do for fun?
For those of you that don't know what Crud is, it's a game that air crews, at least in the Air Force, play. It's around a pool table with a couple of a cue ball and another ball. And anyway, Daniel and I have played in one of our mastermind retreats that we went on and had an absolute blast. So, but anyway, you know, dude, I love to, it's springtime. So we're in the middle of planting in my garden right now as we speak. I love the opportunity to plant seeds and then watch God work his miracles in those gardens and to see that growth occur. And then, of course, to reap the harvest weeks or months later, depending on what it is that's being planted. That's something also that has taught me a lot of patience as well. I have been an impatient person most of my life. I've learned to be very, very patient, and gardening has helped me do that because it's not all about me. I've got to rely on him in so many ways to see the fruits of my labor.
If you could be automatically good at something, what would it be, Matt?
Man, I'd love to be a guitar aficionado. I take lessons from a guy who's a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's incredible. And I could probably be good if I had the time, just because I've been in choir and that type of thing all my life. But I just absolutely love the sound of an acoustic guitar played well, and would love that.
What kind of guitar you play?
I've got a Fender, and I've got a Takamine as well. I joke with my instructor that I take my lessons and I practice at the same time every week.
Very good student, I can tell. If you could put a message on all school marquees across the nation for one day, what would it say?
Wow. You live in the greatest country on the world with the most opportunity in the world. Go for it.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any actionable steps you'd like the listeners to take as a result of listening to this show? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I would say, you know, getting back to the mastermind, guys, I cannot stress enough the importance of masterminding. And whether it be working with Daniel or whether it be finding a group of folks from different backgrounds in your local area is really up to you. But to regularly, on a weekly basis, meet with one another and to live life together and learn and share with one another is game-changing for all those involved. As far as reaching out to me, Daniel, there's a couple different ways. First off, if folks have any desire in learning more about School Spirit Vending for their school, they can go to schoolspiritvending.com and find out a little bit more about our program. If there's anybody out there, we've got a bunch of educators that are franchisees on our team who wanted to do this and leverage the relationships and the knowledge that they have from education over the years and have become successful franchisees. If they want to learn more on that front, they can go to ssvbusiness.com/BLBS for Better Leaders, Better Schools. And then finally, if they want to learn more about Marlon and Percy and maybe even get access to some Marlon and Percy comics for their kids, whether it be at home or grandkids or even to use within the school environment, they can go to marlonandpercy.com to the shop. And we have a 7 comic book bundle. If they use the code word APE POWER, all one word, APEPOWER, they can get 50% off that bundle and get exposed to the world of Marlon and Percy.
And listeners, you know, that's always going to be in the show notes for you. So schoolspiritvending.com, how to become a franchisee. Getting those Marlon and Percy comics with the 8 power code. That's all there for you in the show notes. Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Matt. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Matt in the search bar. And the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Matt, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights, #2, and helping the better leaders be better.
Thanks, Daniel. God bless you, man.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.